Let's raise standing, shall we, please? Let's take your Bibles and we'll get right into the gospel message. We're in 2 Kings tonight. 2 Kings, if you'll turn there to chapter 7. Orchestra, organist and pianist, and that duet, Brother Waterhouse and Brother Galvan, I like that. That was wonderful. That was great. I felt like clapping, and I thought, well, I'm going to be a good Christian or not. Then I watched Mrs. Treber clapping down there, so somebody has to be good in our home, you know, but thank God. That was good. I like that. I like the quartets tonight, and the duets and the solos, and hearing you sing. I try to remember it's summertime, and I don't have to preach every book in the Bible all in one message. The truth is, I'm not a long-winded preacher. I generally preach 28 to 30 minutes. Some folks say, why don't you preach like A.V. Henderson used to preach? A.V. Henderson preached at the great Temple Baptist Church, thousands of people in Detroit, Michigan. I preached with him one time, and someone said, now he'll preach. And he told me how long he'd preach. I said, he won't. He did. He always preached 20 minutes. That was it. The difference is you're paying for more than that. And so I'll give you a lot more than that tonight. There's a truth here that I think preaching is a lot giving truth to God's people to put it in their soul. Sometimes we don't need it necessarily that week, but you will need it in time. And I believe that there's something for us to see. You know, one of the things that I can't comprehend, getting to the point where you've taught Sunday school for 20 years or 25 and then say, I'm done. I can't wrap my mind around that. I can't wrap my mind around, well, we raised our kids, we did our thing, and we're still going to come to church, but Sunday morning only. Or Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday, but we're not going to do anything. And I understand sometimes health enters into this. I do understand that. But I hope that when the day God takes me home, it's my second prayer every day, either by rapture or death that day, I hope I'm still serving God. I know that I can't be 125 pastoring this church. I know that. And I understand that. And I know that I can't wear out my welcome one day 50 years from now or something. But I want to serve God all the way to the end. It may be that I won't have a voice anymore. But if the new pastor let me stay, I'll trim trees around here and I'll put a backpack on and I'll blow the parking lots off and I'll paint and I'll fix. I want to serve God. There's a passion in my whole heart. Revelation 2:10, our theme this year, faithful unto death. I want to die not with a remote in my hand. I don't want to die sitting on the couch in the middle of summer at 5 o'clock at night watching TV. I want to be out in life doing something. I don't mind TV. I think my wife and I know every Andy Griffith episode. It's about all you can watch, and that's we know everyone. We're laughing before it's even the punchline. We know the punchline. But I don't want to be watching Andy Griffith at 5 o'clock at night in the summer when the sun's out. I want to do something. And tonight we find, and we'll just read a few verses together. And we'll read verses 1 through 7, 2 Kings 1 through 7, but the entire chapter is really what I'd love to read to you tonight, with you tonight. But let's read together chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. Let's stay together, pause at the commas. Did I not tell you 2 Kings? Did I say, what did I tell you? 2 Kings. And why are you folks turning around in your Bible there? I said something this morning, then I said 2 Corinthians. So I just said something because you're all laughing at me. What did I say, Brother Mofi? Did I say next Sunday is double tithe Sunday? And did you tell me you're on vacation next week? Is that it? Okay, 2 Kings, for you slow people or for the pastor that says the wrong thing. Chapter 7. Oh, no, those, you pray for them. They're in their service at the other property tonight. Probably having burritos over there. Verses 1 through 7. Ready? What's 1 through 3? 1 through 3. Good. That's what I said, right? You know, it's taking a lot longer to preach to you these days. If you would just read my mind, it wouldn't be so difficult. Okay, 2 Chronicles 7, 1 through 25. Ready? Well, it starts with then Elisha. If you're not there, you're in the wrong place. Ready? Begin. Then Elisha said, statement again, beginning with the word why. Ready? Begin.
Why sit we here until we die?
Our Father, we're very blessed to be together with our internet friends in countries all over the world tonight. And we thank you for those that are missionaries that are watching, and missionary families, and nationals in over 100 countries tonight. We're thankful for those that listen by the way of the radio tonight. We thank you for those that are here. And Lord, we're blessed to have a missionary and his wife. The Tylers have been 40 years in Brazil. What a blessing. God, speak to our hearts tonight would be my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You and I are watching in our very presence so much die around us. I think there's a measure of freedom in America and the world that's dying. I think you'd agree with me. I see liberty to a certain degree dying. Not to the point, let's throw in the towel, let's quit, it's all over. But I see liberty and I see freedom dying. I see honesty dying. I certainly see, you can see this kindness dying. We become so vicious worldwide, but even here in America, toward one another. It's amazing how quickly we could trash one another when we don't even know one another, but somebody says something online, so I'm going to chime in. The stupidity of that, the foolishness of that, the godlessness of that, to join in some conversation that you don't even know. I don't understand it. It's certainly not Christ-like. It's certainly not a Christian thing. I don't think the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't mean this, now that I started this, it's going to sound irreverent. I don't think he'd be on Facebook trashing people. And if we're to be followers of Christ, let's be followers of Christ. I see around us in America, patience dying and respect dying. And though I'm so very excited, we're up to 249 more bus routes that were in America starting this year and the latter part of last year. It's thrilling. But I see bus ministries dying. I see choirs dying. A preacher called me recently and said, Brother Treber, we had to stop the choir in our church. I said, why'd you stop the choir? He said, nobody will practice, nobody will come. And so that dear pastor had to stand when there are people in the auditorium that could be singing, that could be shouting and praising God. Thank you, choir. That choir number tonight, I've not heard you sing it before, but Justified, we've sung it in this church. I love that song tonight. I see Sunday school classes dying and churches giving up Sunday school, just giving up Sunday school. I watch families dying. Why sit ye here till you die? You know, as I read this, Life is about activity. Life is about doing. Life is about motion and movement and work. Life is not about sitting. I'm older than many of you in this room. Not all of you, but many of you. And I can tell you, I'm so glad I'm married with a wife that's got a whip, and she whips me, says, get off that couch. She doesn't. Both of us are obsessed. We are not, I'm not going to, hey, man, let's hang out together. You want to be cool? I'm not talking about being a nut. But I'm not going to die acting old. I'm not going to act immature. I'm not going to give you an organ recital every service. Tell you about my kidneys and my liver and my this and my that, my spleen and all. I'm not going there. I got an ache, but I'm not going to tell you about it. I want to deceive you as much as I can to let you think that guy, he has got such energy, ready to go. Why not tell you about all the aches and pains? Well, you know, I'm not like I used to be. Well, then change. Well, back in my day, stop that nonsense. I know God's word says, be still and know that I am God. But that is not 24/7, 365, be still. This book is a book of activity. This book is a book of action. Why sit ye here? Sitting is not service. Doing is service. God's work is about activity. Watch these verses. Here's what God's last words on planet Earth. Go! You help me with it. Go ye into all the and the go, 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 not sit, sit, sit. Well, you know, I'm 55 now. I'm getting old. 55 is young. Ask Bill Shilton. God's word is movement. It's motion. Go into all the world. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 8. Rise up and build. Well, I don't think we can do that. No, it's action. It's movement. They that sow in tears, that's action, shall reap in joy. But grow in grace, that's activity. Do something. 2 Peter 3:18. Get in the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Bathe in the Word of God. Feed on the Word of God. And having done all to stand, stand. That's activity. That's growth. That's progress. Put on the whole armor of God. Well, I did that when I was young, but I don't want that armor anymore. No, that's activity. That's motion. Pure religion. And undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and to visit the widows in their affliction. That's activity. That's business. That's doing. Here in the story, Elisha said, he said, hear the word of the Lord. As I speak to us tonight on why sit ye here till we die, hear the word of the Lord. God has a message for us tonight. He has a message for you tomorrow. Are you listening? Hear. God will speak to you tomorrow. He'll say, do something for that neighbor. Do something for that shut-in. Do something for that person at work. Make a meal for that person. Make a visit on that person. God's going to reveal to you, here's a street, and this street, I wonder if anybody's ever knocked on these doors, and God's going to ask you to knock on those doors and then do it. It's activity. It's motion. Hear, hear. Listen to God. When was the last time God spoke to you? I know whatever that TV lady is, I didn't see it, I read about it, that made fun of Vice President Pence because he said, I speak to God and God answers me. And she made such a mockery about it. Well, friend, I tell you what, she makes a mockery because she doesn't know that God does speak.
He still speaks. I know his voice. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me I'm his own. When was the last time God spoke to you? I'm not telling you that it came on the over a microphone. Jack Treiber. Boy, I'd be committed to a nut house if that happened like that. God speaks through his word. God speaks through the saints of God. God speaks through a song. God speaks through preaching. God speaks with a still, small voice. God speaks with the Holy Spirit of God. His job is to teach me, to guide me, to convict me. And God will speak. If you've not heard the voice of God, oh, not audible, but if God hasn't spoken to you, I check your salvation. Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. I like this. Thus saith the Lord. This is not my idea. And he says, tomorrow, would you look to tomorrow for just a moment? I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who will stand by me. I don't know about tomorrow. But what do you see? Do you see yourself tomorrow? A day, a week, a month, a year, 5, 10, 15, 20? Do you see yourself just sitting around with a remote? That's the highlight of life? I see old Brother Herman back there. Lives at the nursing home facility by the other property. He has to pay money for the shuttle driver to pick him up, and he comes to prayer on Saturday night most set time, and then has to pay money to go back home just these few blocks. I looked at Monday night. I saw that shuttle van, whatever the name of it is, come up, and they let him out on his wheel, and the wheelchair was let down on an elevator, and he came in here. Herman, this is youth conference. Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Why? He wants to have more in life than just gun smoke. He wants to have more life. He's in this thing. Came to youth conference. I watched people in this room that some, it was wearisome physically on you, and it was hard on you as you served. But thank God, we've got a church that they're looking down the road. I don't want to sit in just a chair and live my life in an easy recliner. I recall I must have been a very slow student. I was in Bible college, and we were practicing every morning for a couple months the Handel's Messiah, and they'd start us, I want to say, if I remember, 5:30 in the morning, we'd stand and we'd practice that thing. And at first I didn't understand it, I didn't like it, but I had to sing in it. And you know, the music professor, I'll never forget, he had this statement he'd always say, Brother Bruno, hey, get up out of bed, get here and get to class and get here. And then he'd say this, do you know that more people die in bed than anywhere else? Well, that's a pretty good place to die, I think. I'd rather die there than the front seat of my car or something. He'd say, I think, wow, I'm never going to bed again. I'm not going to bed. More people die in bed than anywhere else. I think that's probably true today as well. That's probably where you'll die and I'll die, I hope. Why sit you here till you die? Would you look at tomorrow? We have a very young church, but we also have a segment that is aging. It's such a wonderful thing. Don't become an old fogey. Oh, I know some, God bless you, some of you men are losing your hair. I know that. I feel for you. Some of you men, it's turning gray, I feel bad for you. I know that. I wish that you could use the Grecian formula I use. Is that what it is, Grecian formula? Next Sunday, I'm coming with a different color hair. I'll promise you that. I'll have a wig on. tomorrow. And he says something's going to happen tomorrow. There's going to be an enormous fall in prices. Chapter 7, verse 1, chapter 6, verse 25. He says it's going to be enormous. You see, the stock market was going great. The economy was going great. But I'm going to tell you something. It's all going to collapse tomorrow. And when it collapses, he said, and he said, when it collapses, you're gonna have a fine flour sold for a shekel. And then there was a lord, there was a worker there, and he was the one whose hand the king leaned on. The king, this was his right-hand man. And he said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? It's not going to happen. If you go to the very last verse, it happened. He was a smart mouth. In chapter number 7, verse 3, and there were four leper men entering into the gate. Why were at the gate? Because according to Numbers 5, verse 3, and Leviticus 13:46, a leper was not allowed into the city. They could come to the gate because people would come and give them some scraps and some bread, but they were not allowed to come in the city. They had to keep the disease out. And here these lepers would come to the gate, and in verse number 4, they said, verse 3, they said, why are we here? We're just sitting here. We're waiting for people, and we're going to die anyway. Why sit we here till we die? Verse 4, if you say we will enter into a city, then the famine is in the city, and we're going to die there. And if we sit here, we die here. So they're torn. They're torn. What are you torn between tonight? Salvation? Are leaving out of here still lost? Are you torn between right and wrong? Sitting and serving? Happy and sad? Lazy and work? What are you torn between? Mean and kind and proud and humble? Negative and positive? What tears you up tonight? Forgiving, unforgiving? Godly, ungodly? Perhaps there's some war going on in your life. Give way to that which is right, not that which is wrong. It's easy to give in to the wrong. Observation. The question is first, why do you sit here? Why do we sit? Why are we sitting here? Why is our family such a mess? Why are our finances not in order? Why are we not growing spiritually? Why is my marriage so difficult? There's nothing wrong with asking why. My God! My God, why hast thou forsaken me? There's nothing wrong with you asking why. There's something wrong when you don't do something about the why. These old boys, their condition called for careful examination. And their examination that they discovered led to a decision. Verse 4 and 5, we're going to do something about it. If we just sit here, we'll die. If we go in the city, we may die. And their decision led them to allowed them to see God at work. Verse 6, the Lord hath made the host of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots. It's an amazing thing when God gets in a problem. They heard something, and there was no noise. And those people in that city, they arose and fled in the twilight. They left their tents, their horses, their asses in the camp as it would, and they fled for their life. God got in it. God's been so evident in this church for 43 years next month. God's been in this thing. Let's leave him in here. Let's not have them on the outside in the book of Revelation on the church door, knocking on the door, trying to get into the church he gave his life for.
God provided a miracle, verse 8, and when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, they did eat and drink, carried then silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it. And they came again and entered another tent, carried thence, and they went and hid it. But I want you to know, they experienced a miracle, but then they said, it's not good that we just share this for ourselves. There are other people that need what we're experiencing. I heard that orchestra, I think the quartet was singing, I like that tonight. I just sort of look at them and they smile and they know, start playing. And they played. I tell you, it just, shouldn't everybody in the Silicon Valley be here tonight? Experiencing church. Pianist going, organist going. I think I counted seven trumpets and then these other kind of things that are trumpets. I don't know what they are. All these, we need a couple baritones, by the way. And by the way, I'm looking for him. John Morris, there you are. I heard you have a tuba. We need a tuba in the orchestra. Isn't it amazing how he still speaks? I'll give you 2 weeks to learn it. On anniversary Sunday, I'll give it to July 15th. He will be playing in the orchestra with the tuba. It's going to be awesome, Brother John. You better start practicing real fast. If I were you, I'd move back in with your folks and tell your wife you're going to be gone as she has you practicing that. You know, when God blesses, don't share it to yourself. Look what happened. I think I'll begin to wrap it up. Look what happened. Verse 9, and they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go tell the king's household. We want you to know God did something very special tonight, King. And we don't know what happened, but all the people fled. The king and others thought it might have been a trap, but they said, no, we're in there eating, and their silver, their gold, we're spoiling it. And the blessings tonight, I'm skipping, I'm cutting out half my message. I skip over to verse 19. The blessings remind us that he is still on the throne. And the Lord answered, verse 19, the man of God has said, now, behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. Why are you sitting here when God wants to do something with your life? Why are you sitting when God brings opportunities to you? And he does. And he has opportunities for you and for me to serve him and experience the blessings of God. Why do we sit here? You've been noticing a lot in this church. I want a culture of prayer all the time. And so many of you just even tonight came in and just would kneel right there or pray together before church. No organized, just praying. I like it on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Perhaps God would want to use you to take that Wednesday night prayer page that we have of all these missionaries around the globe, that many of them you won't even remember their faces or who they are, what they look like, but you'll be able to pray and say, God, I pray for this dear man and this dear wife, their kids, their ministry. Isn't it amazing? These four men made a difference. Four lepers. In Mark 2, there was four men. They carried a man. And they uncovered the roof of that house and let down that man before Jesus. And a miracle took place. We had under here, I mentioned it, I think this morning, underneath the auditorium below here, there's an auditorium. We had men during youth conference down there while all the activity was going on and all the singing was going on, all the preaching was going on. We had men. I never organized it. The men organized it. And they said, we'll be down there praying from start to finish. God did some things. Why? Because men said, why sit here? I said, fellas, I kind of feel bad about this youth. I'd like you to be part of the youth night and like you to be part of the youth conference if you want to see it. And they said, it's really, and I went, and many of you went, and that's okay. They said, it's really for the youth. We need to be praying for those youth. Why sit we here till we die? God's going to give an opportunity to you. You watch what he does through prayer, or through a bus route, or through soul winning. God's going to put an area on your heart, and you're going to say, Brother Luke, I need a bus. I need to go do that. That's my life. It's my passion. I have a bus route, and I've let it go. I'm just going to get it back going. There was a man that I close his. He was an amazing man. I recall his picture on the left side of the chalkboard all my life growing up, and another man on the right side, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln. George Washington had something come. He never sought it. He didn't want it. But he knew he had to take the position. He wrote his wife. He said, this is a letter composed to my dear wife, Martha, on June 18th, 1775, to inform you that I had reluctantly accepted the Second Continental Congress request that he command the Revolutionary Army. This is not something I sought, but I felt like it was my duty. He wrote to his wife, I am now set down to write to you on the subject which fills me with inexpressible concern. And this concern is greatly aggravated, increased when I reflect upon the uneasiness that I know that it's going to give you. It has been determined in Congress that the whole army raised for the defense of the American cause shall be put under my care. And it's necessary for me to proceed immediately to Boston to take the command thereof. You may believe me, my dear, when I assure you that in the most solemn manner that so far from seeking this appointment, I have used every endeavor in my power to avoid it. Not only for my unwillingness to part with you and the family, but from the consciousness of its being a trust too great for my capacity, that I should enjoy more real happiness and felicity in 1 month with you at home than the distant prospect of reaching abroad. This has been my kind of destiny. It's thrown me upon this service. I hope that my undertaking of it shall be designed to answer from good purpose. You might, and I suppose, did perceive from the tenor of my letters that I was apprehensive. I could not avoid this appointment, as I did not even pretend to imitate when I should return. It's utterly out of my power. He went on to write. He never sought it. But you know, if there wasn't a George Washington in that Continental Army, we would not be sitting in free America today. God raised him up. God raised him up. Brother Gain, you're back there visiting. I know nothing about the Ark other than I've heard people talk about it, read. But somehow God gave that in the heart of a man or a couple or somebody. How in the world did they ever have the money? How in the world did they ever get the permits? How in the world could they ever do? I don't know. But I know thousands and tens of thousands of people come.
and they're getting saved and realizing there was an ark, and we didn't come from apes, and we didn't come from animals, and there's no such thing as evolution, and God did this. I'd like to be a little bird in the wall and in a room and just hear the conversations of the gospel being presented. I don't understand all about that, but I do know that apparently God must have raised that up. I wonder, Brother Tyler, how it was that 40 years ago God spoke to your heart and God spoke to your wife's heart and you are willing to say yes. And I wonder what all the stories he has of 40 years of just saying yes to God and what God has done. Child of God, why sit ye here till you die? I watch people. They get older in life. And I'm not talking about old. I'm talking maybe their 50s and think, I'm tired. Well, I know you are. I do. God bless you. And 55 and 60 and 65. I know that. I understand that. I'm aware of that. I want to be very sensitive to that. And we're not all built the same way. We can not all accomplish the same thing. But God just doesn't want you to sit. God wants you to serve. I have so much more to say, but I'm out of time. Father, bless these dear people.